This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life, made for real life moments, Maurice's.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. KNSS is always here for you. Tell your legislators to keep AM radio in vehicles now, and let's keep it that way. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to keep AM radio in cars. And make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages. And follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show.
Well, as I said in Friday's Carry On commentary, happy 85th birthday to Nancy Pelosi. As for gifts, what do you give the woman who seemingly has everything? How about term limits? I mean, seriously, folks. National political office was never supposed to be a career, but for too many of our federal politicians, that's exactly what has happened. And it's not just a Democrat problem. Senator Chuck Grassley was first elected to Congress in 1975. That was 10 presidents ago. It's a serious problem. With us now to give us his take is Mark Meckler. He's an American political pundit, attorney, and president of Citizens for Self-Governance. Mark, thank you again for joining us this evening. It's a pleasure to have you back on the show again, my friend.
It's always great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
So, I guess I have to wish her a happy birthday. So happy birthday to Nancy Pelosi. And you know, as I said in the intro there, this isn't just a Democrat issue. As I said, Chuck Grassley's been in there for 10 presidents. But this is, you know, back in the day, you were a cobbler or, you know, you were a wheel maker, and then you went to Washington and then you went back home and you were a cobbler again. Now you've got these people who are going to D.C. and making a career and making millions out of being in Washington. And this has become an institutional problem, hasn't it?
It definitely has. And I don't think this is something that the framers ever expected to happen. I mean, first of all, most of them were not professional politicians.
Right.
And they didn't like politicians, generally speaking. They were regular folks who came, even then it wasn't even Washington, but who came to the Capitol and they did the people's business and then they went home. And so they just had no expectation of this. Benjamin Franklin once said that if you combined money and power, it would be the worst possible thing. And that's what we have now, right? And you mentioned this, folks get incredibly wealthy by going to Washington, D.C. They have a decent salary, $180,000 roughly, which I know a lot of people think that's a lot of money. But to be fair, when you have to live both at home in your district and in D.C., it's not that much money. So how do they end up being multimillionaires? I think we all know they have all kinds of insider information. They trade stocks on that. They do incredibly well. And then they do that over a very long period of time, like you said, Nancy Pelosi being 85 years old.
Yeah, and if you look at it, I mean, I remember one of the early conversations I had with one of our congressmen, and he talked about, you know, nights that he had to sleep on the couch in his office because the cost of living was so high in Washington. But, you know, then you look at people like AOC, who, I mean, when she went to Congress, she was a bartender, and now she's a millionaire. And you don't get that if you don't have sweetheart deals and things like that. But if term limits are good enough for presidents and governors, you know, then why not would they also good for the goose, good for the gander? Why not make it good enough for members of Congress?
Yeah, I think it should be. When you look at the numbers, the American people, roughly 85 to 89% of them are in support of term limits for Congress. And they have been for the last 30 years that it's been polled. Congress has the power, by the way, to propose an amendment for term limits anytime. It takes two-thirds of both houses of Congress. Will they ever do that?
No.
Of course they'll never. No,
they're not going to. They'll raise their own pay, but they're not going to limit their own power. I mean, come on, let's be serious.
Right. So there is a way to do it.
That was going to be my question. What is the solution then?
Look, so the framers knew this would happen. They knew that Congress would become unresponsive and we'd have to restrain them. And so they gave the power to the states to call a convention of states when 34 states they want to get together on a particular subject. They can gather and they can propose amendments. It takes two-thirds of states, just like it takes two-thirds of Congress to make a proposal. And then that proposal goes out to the states for ratification by the same amount of states it would take if it was a congressional proposal. It takes three-quarters of states. And actually today there are 19 states that have made this proposal, not just for term limits and not just on Congress, but first of all, if you have term limits just on Congress, who do you think gets more powerful? If we just rotate congressmen in and out, then the deep state gets more power, the bureaucrats and the staffers. And so you have to be able to put term limits on them as well. And the proposal that the Convention of States Project has put out there allows you to do that. You can term limit staffers, bureaucrats, the judiciary, which I think is really important. And then on top of that, you can impose, for example, a balanced budget amendment. You could do with the Department of Education permanently, like forever, constitutionally. So that's what the Convention of States Project is working on right now.
You know, but we've had this issue here in Kansas, for example, since I was in the legislature. But, you know, that goes back a few years, goes back to 2018. But this article, I voted for it. I supported the measure when I was in the legislature. It came up again here in Kansas. But where are we in Kansas? I know it came up this session. The Senate considered it as far as I know, it did not pass, did it?
No, the Senate absolutely did pass it. So there's something unique in Kansas that's a little bit problematic, which is your state constitution actually says it takes a two-thirds majority to propose an Article 5 application. By the way, most people have no idea how that got into your constitution. That was put in your constitution in the 1974 revision.
Right.
There's no evidence whatsoever of any debate around this, any newspaper articles written around that particular provision. It was done by the left to protect Roe versus Wade. Remember, 1973 is Roe versus Wade. So the year after, they slipped in this provision to make sure that Kansas could never make a proposal to overturn Roe versus Wade. So that what we call the Roe protection provision is still sitting there in the Kansas Constitution. The biggest problem with that is that's unconstitutional under the U.S. Constitution, because the states have the right to call a convention of states, state legislatures do, and adding an extra burden on that is unconstitutional. So what it means, though, right now, as the law stands and as the legislature interprets it, you have to have a two-thirds majority. The Senate has now passed that by a two-thirds majority. The House committee has passed that out to the floor, and the local activists are working very hard, and the legislators, to get to a two-thirds majority in the House. Meanwhile, there are a couple legislators from last session that filed litigation claiming that the Kansas Constitution is unconstitutional because of the supremacy clause on this issue, and they're working to get a federal judge to issue a ruling on that right now.
That's what I understood, was that it had passed through the Senate 29-11, so it didn't have a constitutional majority, but it still passed out of the it did have a constitutional majority, but then again,
it did have the majority in the Senate.
Yes. But it's, from what I'm seeing, the committee report, it's out of committee, but that was it. It's just basically sitting in the House, and whether or not, I mean, they've now done, they ended on Friday, and that doesn't mean it couldn't come up when they go back for veto session, but it most likely now you're looking at next year, looking at 2026 before the House could possibly take it up. And again, how long have they been trying to push this? And when you look at what could be, you know, the issues that could be faced. I mean, America faces unprecedented challenges, and we're talking with Mark Meckler. You know, we're looking at a $31 trillion national debt, unchecked federal overreach, a Congress that is increasingly disconnected from the people. Some of the only ways to address this would be through a convention of states, right, Mark?
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think there are other ways for the problems we're trying to address. credit where it's due. The Trump administration is trying.
Yes.
And they're doing a very good job on a lot of this stuff. But the most important thing to remember is the last 4 years, which is we could do a lot of great stuff under a great president and a good Congress. And then what will happen after that is the next time there's a Democrat administration, we shouldn't take it for granted that there's always going to be Republican administrations because the pendulum swings. They will reverse everything that was good that a Trump administration or any other Republican administration did. So if we want to make those things permanent, like doing away with the Department of Education, like limiting the administrative state, like maybe limiting the Supreme Court to 9 judges, the way to do that is through a convention of states.
And we're finally seeing support from national figures. I know that Vice President J.D. Vance, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, Pete Hegseth have all indicated support. Obviously, Mark Levin, the last time I had him on my show, he's an outspoken supporter of the convention of states, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's been kind of a miracle to see this happen inside the administration. You named a few, but also Caroline Leavitt, the press secretary, Brooke Rollins, the ag secretary, Mike Huckabee, soon to be ambassador to Israel. All of these people are longtime supporters of the convention of states. And so, you know, what I'm hoping for, what I'm looking forward to is and expecting is that sometime during this term, the president himself, Donald Trump, is going to become a supporter of convention of states publicly. I have talked to him about it briefly. That was back during his first term, and he was generally supportive. I wouldn't say he's a quote-unquote supporter of convention of states because I've never had that conversation with him. But I expect with everybody around him supporting it so vociferously that we should expect that the administration will get around to this.
Well, even the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, is a supporter of the convention of states.
Yeah, longtime supporter. And in fact, we have video on our website of him when he was one of the champions in the Louisiana legislature. Really incredible floor speech he gave. Most people don't realize that Mike Johnson, his career was as a constitutional attorney, worked for Alliance Defending Freedom. So he knows the Constitution, and he was a great promoter and defender of Convention of States when it passed in Louisiana.
So, Mark, I know my audience, and I know when we ran it in the legislature when I was there, I had guys right of me, and there aren't that many, by the way, but there were guys who were right of me, and you know, the first thing they're going to say is, oh, runaway convention. You know, they're going to do away with the Second Amendment. They're going to all that stuff.
Right.
If what do you say to those conservatives who are afraid of the runaway convention? And I know the arguments, but in your last 2 minutes that I've got, what's your pushback to that? What's your answer to those?
Yeah,
fears?
I mean, the first thing that I would say is George Soros loves you and thanks you. And I mean, I mean that literally. I'm not being facetious. George Soros, through Common Cause, has aligned a group of over 250 leftist organizations in America, Planned Parenthood, La Raza, MoveOn.org, like every baby-killing, America-hating, communist, socialist organization in America signed a press release against this. So if you're a conservative and you're against this, congratulations, you're on George Soros' Christmas list. He loves you and he appreciates you. So that's number one. You shouldn't want to be on that list. Number two is just do basic math. Now, this is the weirdest thing. They say it's going to run away. Remember, it would take 34 states to call a convention and 38 states to ratify. So by runaway, what they mean is you're going to get into convention. Somebody's going to propose something like doing away with the Second Amendment, and they're going to manage to get that out of convention and ratify it. So I have a question for these people, just a logical question. If they have 38 states that would vote to repeal the Second Amendment right now, then why don't they just hold a convention and have the 38 states ratify? You mean they're just sitting around waiting, oh, that Mark Meckler guy and those convention states people, we'll just wait until they get to convention and we'll do it then.
And we'll surprise
them. Right. They hate the Second Amendment. If they had the votes to do it, if they believed they could do it, they would do it right now. And they wouldn't be working so hard to stop us. The reason they're trying to stop us, and they write about this openly all the time, as they say, these people, meaning convention of states, intend to reverse 115 years of progressive policy. And I say, damn right, that's exactly what we're doing.
Yeah, that's the best way of articulating this, is if it had a chance of running away like they doom and gloom it, they would have done it already. Mark, if folks are interested, if they want more information, where's the best place for them to go to get that information, to sign up, you know, volunteer, get motivated, get involved?
Go to conventionofstates.com, and they should click on the petition, sign that petition, then click on the Take Action tab and volunteer. It's not enough to just sign a petition. We need you guys in the fight today.
Well, and if they're on X, they can find you at COS Project on Twitter or X. I appreciate you, brother. I follow you there. Keep up the good work, my friend.
Thank you. God bless.
We'll take a quick break, and then I want to know what you think. Do you support the call for a convention of states? You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I want to remind you about my friends at Americans for Prosperity. The great folks, they believe freedom and opportunity are the keys to unleashing prosperity for all. If you want to make your voice heard, visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. Great way to get involved in a campaign or get involved in helping to educate voters. Trust me, my wife and I have both door knocked for AFP. They're great folks, and it's a great way to get involved at the grassroots level. So make sure you reach out to them. And, of course, while you're online, like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer. A couple of events coming up that you might want to add to your calendars. April 12th, my lovely mother's birthday. The Kansas Federation of Republican Women are holding their 4th district meeting. That's coming up on April 12th. On April 26th, it's a great event, very cool event. This is an event called Boots, Bling, and Country Soul. Very cool event. This one I may have to actually see if I can get the misses to go to. This is the Central County Black Republican Council hosting their Boots, Bling, and Country Soul events for an unforgettable evening. It's a, you know, semi-formal event, very cool event. It's the Sedgwick County Black Republican Council. All this information, by the way, you can find out on the Sedgwick County Republican Party's website if you want more information on any of the stuff that I'm sharing with you now. And on April 26th, my good friends at Kansas Family Voice are holding a legislative summit. This is at the barn in Garden Plain at 6:30 to 8:30. It's an evening of critical legislative insights with leaders at the federal, state, and county levels. I plan to be there. County Commissioner Ryan Beatty will be the MC. It's going to be a great, informative, engaging event. That's coming up at the end of April. So, and again, more information for all of this is on the Sedgwick County Republican Party's website, so which is sedgwick.gop. If you want information on this. Right. So, a lot of good things going on.
Yeah. Well, fantastic. You know, try and share. Try and keep. Oh, and don't forget the weekly Pachyderm Club meetings every Friday. And the Sedgwick County Republican Party is having their monthly meeting on the 17th of April. And the speaker is a Zoom conference kind of with General Michael Flynn. So that'll be a good one. Yeah. Okay. Kind of a cool one.
Fantastic. John, we had a caller earlier, didn't want to get on the air.
Okay.
And that's fine.
That happens. Yeah, no.
Aaron from Wichita.
Okay.
He heard earlier, we were talking about the veto session that was coming up. And so I guess, and I would be included in this as well, I don't understand fully how this works. So help me out here. Since you've been up there, you've seen this before. When the governor, whether it be Democrat, Republican, when the governor vetoes and decides they don't want to veto the entire bill, they just want to go through each line item, then they do that. Then the legislature then in turn has to go back and they have to go through line by line.
Right. They have to try. And the line item veto, and just a little side note, the line item veto could only be used on budget bills.
Okay.
And
I didn't know that either. Yeah,
there you go. Thank you. And as a side note, Sam Brownback actually wanted to change that. He tried with a Republican controlled legislature to change that, to allow the governor to use a line item veto on policy bills, and the legislature wouldn't let him, because that has to go through the legislature would have to pass a bill to give the governor that power. And I was actually in the legislature at the time, and it was one of those times when the Republican majority defied a Republican governor.
Wow.
Well, one of the reasons we did that is because we knew at some point there might be a Democrat governor. Mm-hmm. And we didn't want a Democrat going through and line itemizing, line item vetoing
policy bills. So the line item veto can only be used on a budget bill. And what that does, so the legislature sent her their budget. She could veto the entire budget, or she can go in and just take out the specific things about it. She just saw $100,000 for X, $1 million for Y, $2 million for Z. And she crosses those out and vetoes those specific things. Mm-hmm. And what did Stephen say? 17, 18 of those he expects.
Yeah.
So now when the legislature goes back, they have to go back in and try and override or choose not to 17 or 18 of those things. And every time they have to get 84 votes in the House, and they have to get veto-proof majorities on every single one of those.
I see.
And it's a calculation that leadership has to go through. Do we want to try? Can we get the votes to do this 18 times? Is it worth the effort? Do we have the coalition? Do we have the votes necessary? On major pieces, because, you know, let's say there's something in there that, you know, I have no idea. I haven't looked at the budget. But there may be something, you know, that they're going to fight for. And I would imagine the bulk of them, they will. They'll just crank them out. But there may be a few that they can't get.
Mm-hmm.
And so that point, leadership has to decide, is it worth the fight or do we just let it go?
Okay, so let me give you the second part of Aaron's question, which is really good, in that he wants to know, does the governor do that on purpose?
Oh, yeah.
Knowing that this is going to be a methodical process. This is going to take, it's going to take some time. Is she trying to wear down, kind of his words, is she trying to wear down the Republican?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
It's part, I mean, it's all politics. And so, yeah, if she's thinking, if I can drag him out and then maybe they'll just get tired of it and let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not worth the effort. Again, and here's the other thing. To get them to come back, if they have to have the certain numbers, you have to have a constitutional majority. And if you need 85 votes in order to get that, one guy's got harvest, one guy's out of town. When I was in the legislature, there was one or two reps that were notorious for taking vacations the minute we adjourned. Notorious. One in particular. Always used to find it. Man, we're out of here. I'm on a cruise. I mean, it was almost like it was predictable. And so that's, you know, if he's out now, we lost that guy. And you know, if that happens, then it's a lot harder to get to what you need. So we'll take a quick break. And then award-winning filmmaker and author Greg Rebideau will be with us. He's going to explain why he thinks Disney's new live-action version of Snow White has been just savaged by bad reviews. 316-869-1330 is the studio line. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real-life moments, Maurice's.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Oh, now that's hilarious. Very nicely done, Phil. Very nice. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Play that again. That's good. That is very good. I like that one. That's funny. Now, see, if they'd done that version of Snow White, I might actually but take time to go watch the darn thing. I mean, that, you know, that would be good. Want you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by downloading the Odyssey app or telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS Radio. And make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer. Get all the latest updates on the show. And as always, our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. We'd love to hear from you. Well, mirror, mirror on the wall, please explain why Disney sucks and keeps making live-action reboots that annoy, fall flat, and just basically appall their viewers. I don't know. Maybe it's because you cast a progressive Trump-hating actress as the live-action version of Snow White. I don't know. With us now to try and explain it is Greg Rabideau. He is an award-winning filmmaker, author, and cultural commentator. Greg, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
It's a pleasure to be here, John. I agree. I love the intro music. And I'm just saying this. Look, the new Snow White audience, they give the heave-ho to the hi-ho.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Music. I like that.
You know, look, I mean, it debuted at number one on the domestic box office and just took a nosedive. It earned basically $42 million last weekend. As of this morning, it's projected to gross a three-day total of $14 million by the end of its second weekend. And I'm not a Hollywood guy. You are. But those are terrible numbers, aren't they?
Bad Mickey Mouse legs for the film, John. I'm looking at numbers here. Even with the international distribution, it's on pace, because you got to remember, it had an operating budget of $272 million. And it's probably on pace right now to lose about $140 million. Oof. It'll recoup some of that worldwide, but it's not going to – I'd be shocked if it comes close to even breaking even. And there's what? How many dwarfs again are there?
Seven.
Seven?
Yes.
All right. Here we go. John, I got seven. I got a reason for each dwarf. Bad script, bad press, bad karma, bad idea, bad marketing, you already touched on it, bad lead star, and bad timing.
Yes.
And there's more, but I don't want to overload each dwarf with several reasons, but that's at least one reason for each dwarf as why they're going to nosedive. And you're right, going from the animated classic, the magic that a lot of people grew up on, a lot of people love, and then you go live action, it's not the same. On top of everything we've already talked about, I don't want to see lions in live action ripping each other apart, but I'll go with it in the animated to some degree because I know it's make-believe.
Does this movie have the original? I haven't seen it. Does it have the original music? Or are they at least doing that as well?
Well, they've done things like, of course, one of the classic songs is, you know, Someday My Prince Will Come.
Right.
And they've changed that because they felt that was too sexist and didn't empower young women. So they changed that to making on a wish. But the wish is about becoming empowered and being independent and not needing anybody. But you said it. The co-star, Rachel Zegler, she early on came out and just bashed the classic, saying nobody wants basically a creepy stalker I guess that's what she thought of the
Prince
in the
Charming,
original.
Right, yeah.
Yep, yep. That we have to move forward now, and she didn't even like the movie, the original, and they were going to go in a whole new, different path. And that was before she started tweeting out and basically putting toxic and poison in the air of more than half her audience. You know, F Trump and his supporters, and may they never know peace, and may harm only befall them. And then the day, get this, so the day the first big trailer comes out, that's a launch point number one in the industry. And you really, it's hyped up now. This is the big film trailer, and it's released on a lot of social media platforms and a lot of the streaming services. She takes it on herself to that day post her support for Palestine and indirectly Hamas.
Right.
With her co-star is Gal Gadot.
Who's right? Israeli.
Who's Israeli born,
yes.
Served in the Israeli armed forces and was like the only one, it seemed like, standing in the wilderness of Hollywood after October 7th. And Ziegler has said, hey, she's my role model. She's my man. Boy, I wouldn't like to see how she treats people she doesn't think that are her role models and people she wants to mentor from.
We're talking with award-winning filmmaker Greg Rabideau. Greg, there was also, and I guess, again, I haven't seen it, but there's also some confusion. I remember when this thing's gone through multiple edits, multiple productions and pre-productions and revisions, but early on there was some also controversy, I know, with Peter Dinklage and the whole thing with the dwarves too, because they were they were going to be cast and they were not going to be cast, and now there's CGI. What happened with all that too?
Right. No, right. So a bad sign is always if you have lots of rewrites. I mean, it's normal. You come out with a script, an original script. You have several drafts, and then you start sitting down, and then you start working out how it's going to go from script to screen. That's normal. But if while you're in production, which is what happened here, you start having lots of rewrites, and you start editing big time, and you start cutting things that were supposedly at the core of the film, then you know you're headed down the wrong track. Originally, they wanted to send, and by them I said Disney and the writers and producers, wanted to send a clear virtue signal from their perspective, I think, which was, we're going to have dwarfs, but we're going to make it very rainbow. So we're going to have transgender dwarf, we're going to have a lesbian dwarf, we're going to have a gay dwarf, and it's just going to be sort of a merry band of live actors dwarfs. That got hit with a lot of backlash initially for both just societal reasons, backlash readings, and just didn't seem like it was going to work in terms of the film. So then they decided, okay, we'll go with CGI-generated dwarfs. And then they ran into some technical issues with who they were sort of outsourcing some of this stuff from. And then they decided they were going to go back to live action, and then they ended up with the CGI-generated in the film. And the actor you mentioned, Peter Dinklage, you know, I'll clean it up a little bit for your show, but he basically said, first, why the F is Disney feeling compelled to make a reboot of a 1937 film about a girl who goes into a dark cave and sleeps with seven dwarfs? And second, if you're going to make it, my God, will you please use live people from my own community? Meaning, you know, we actors are out here. Why do you use live people and then CGI generate us out of the picture?
Yeah.
So he was kind of taking exception, I think, deservedly so, to a couple big points about it. But the bigger picture started to unfold where they really changed a lot of the original narration, the original premise, and again, tried to lecture on an agenda to audiences where I think it's clear that audiences are, at least a big portion of them now, are just saying, you know, no mas. We don't want this anymore. We don't want to go into a film theater and feel like we're being lectured to about how we should think and act and behave and do or not do. We really just wanted to come in because we kind of had a soft spot for the original, whether it's Snow White or Cinderella or Pinocchio or Dumbo or Fantasia, which, by the way, if you look at Disney now, they've basically hidden at least six or seven of their early classics from young viewers now. They can't see them because Disney has looked back and said, we're ashamed of what we made years ago, and they have negative depictions, and it's not progressive, so we're not going to show them. That's kind of where they're at, I think, as a company. I think they're at a crossroads, John. I really do. of where they're going to go next, or are they going to stay in this sort of bubble they've been in for a few years and keep making films for the loudest, the most active, but not necessarily the folks that are going to buy the tickets and enjoy the show.
Well, yeah, but they're killing their products. I mean, look at what they've done. Now, granted, Daredevil is phenomenal, but look what they've been doing to their Marvel franchise. I mean, they're literally killing. Again, Deadpool was excellent. But yeah, Star Wars again. Hopefully Andor will be, you know, they're starting to kill off some of their best franchises. Mm-hmm. With all, I mean, the what was the last one with the lesbian witches in Star Wars? I mean,
The Acolyte?
Yeah, The Acolyte. That thing was so Acolyte, stupid, yeah. And I'm a star. I mean, yeah. I grew up on Star Wars, and here you got lesbian witches, space witches. I mean, it was the dumbest thing. It's like, come on.
And they hyped it, they marketed it as a series that would break new ground in lesbian cinema. And, okay, that's fine. But once you put that out and you develop a project, it's hard to believe that that's going to then be massive in its appeal.
Right.
So you're already saying we're only after maybe 5 to 8% of the market. And, I mean, Disney, it was not a sweetheart of a guy when it came to business, Walt Disney. I mean, he was innovative, he was original, he was brilliant, but he was ruthless. And he used to say, and he used to tell his staff, we're making magic, but to make magic, you got to be good in business. You got to be great in business, and business is about pleasing the customer. And that's number one, two, and three. And if you move too far from that, if you stray way too far from that, and it seems like you're pleasing your own internal corporate culture, then you're going to lose market share, and it doesn't necessarily come back.
There's been talk.
Somebody else is going to grab it.
There's been talk online about the female head of Marvel or Disney. I can't remember her name, but that she's out or she's. Do you know one way or the other if they're firing her, if she's moving on or not? Because it seems like everything tanked when she took over.
What I've read and what I've heard from a couple folks that are a little closer to that situation than I am is that she is out. I mean, so maybe her bags have not completely left the building, but I mean, they're moving on. And what I call the Bob Iger sequel, because, you know, he's come back. He seems to be sending the message, at least right now, that they've got to move away with what he would call niche projects. He looking to be bigger in appeal and try to get back to what got him there. You know, what made them so successful? Whether it was Snow White, which was, by the way, phenomenal for 1937 in coloration of the animation, the songs, the script, the story, the music, everything set up. It was just a groundbreaker. It made The House of Mouse.
Right.
Right. Steamboat Willie was 1921. It was 16 years later. Snow White really put him on the map. Cinderella, Fantasia, these Pinocchio, multi-layered animation. I still, when I teach part-time adjunct to film students, I use stuff from Pinocchio in terms of looking at how he layered the animation to make field of depth. I mean, some little technical wizardry stuff for its time. And now they're not even showing several of these because they're ashamed of it. So you got to ask yourself, when you're at this sort of a crossroads, who are you going to please? And you got to get back to the basics of what got you so successful. Dreams, following your heart, friendships, banding together, you know, underdog stuff,
right?
Overcoming, you know, good overcoming evil, these kind of universal, timeless themes that helped Disney become so tops, not just sequel after sequel after sequel or reboot from animation to live. You'll hit one of them. I mean, Lion King, look, I'm not a big fan of the going from animation to live action. I love the original Lion King, which still is one of the top grossing films of all time, animated or otherwise. So I wasn't a big fan, but I get you got a new generation that liked that for that product. It didn't make as much money as the animated one. But when you start cranking out a lot of these live actions, some of them, it just doesn't make sense why they would do it, other than you are maybe the barrel's just a little empty. You're not bringing the right people on saying, let's do something fresh and original.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and again, I think a lot of it's also pandering to a very, I mean, anywhere from 1 to 7% of the population. The problem is they're just a loud 1 to 7%
loud.
Of the population.
They're loud, they're active, they're in your face. And so you mistake those for the people that ultimately are going to pay the bills.
Right, yeah. Greg, I appreciate you, brother. If folks want to connect with you, they can find you online at gregthefilmmaker.com, correct?
That is correct, John.
Appreciate you, brother. We'll appreciate you. Thank you for joining us, my friend.
My pleasure. Take care now.
We'll take a quick break, and then I want to hear what you think. If you've seen the movie, if you've seen Snow White, you know, let me know what you think. I haven't seen it. Don't really have a desire to, but then again, I never saw the Barbie movie either. So our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Hi-ho! Yeah, I better not sing with this voice. We'll be back right after this. Sunday! You know, this voice, is, you can do some things. Can't do that. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. It is kind of interesting.
You've
with
got
this
down.
I've got this down with this. don't forget, reach out to my friends at Americans for Prosperity if you're looking for a way to get involved, looking for a way to get, you know, activated, to find ways to door knock, to try and engage with folks in our community. We've got city council elections. We've got other stuff coming up. The folks at Americans for Prosperity are already engaging with voters in all across the state. You can visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up and get involved. Lots of stuff coming up. Don't forget as well, next Sunday, we'll be broadcasting live from the Delperdang Fire Pit, thanks to my friends at Eck Insurance at the super secret location.
Save me a s'more, please.
Save you a s'more. We don't do s'mores. We do cigars.
Fire pit.
We do cigars okay. And beer. No. There will be no. Well, okay, I can't say that. I will not be consuming any adult beverage until I sign off at 9 o'clock. At that point, I am sure I will go down to the fire pit and consume an adult beverage, assuming my wife gives me permission. I may, however, be smoking a cigar while on the air next Sunday. In fact, I will most likely be smoking a cigar while on the air next Sunday. But yeah, I mean, it's a blast. This is a great group of guys and gals, and we do these periodically. I love Leo. It's so nice that he hosts this. We've done them throughout, you know, a couple of years now, and it's just fun. Bunch of, you know, colleagues and friends, and you know, we shoot the breeze and talk politics. And I mean, and people, everybody knows.
It sounds like fun. So you cover state, local, city?
Yeah, everything. And we don't only talk politics. We just, you know, it's culture and it's all friends. And but, you know, number one rule, what happens at the fire pit stays at the fire pit. Of course, that's not going to be the case next Sunday with me broadcasting live. But and there's a lot of poop talk, shall we say. There's a lot of harassment. I guarantee you they will be harassing me live on the air. So you won't want to miss it next Sunday. In the meantime, hopefully I'll get my voice back. Have a great week and carry on, fellow deplorables.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.